Hello, everyone. Let me get my lights turned on. Here we go. Looks a little better. I can actually see myself. All right. We are doing Q&A today, and we are doing Q&A on hair. You can tell I was a little rushing to get down here. Corinne was unfortunately running on the treadmill, just rocking out to my Peloton app, picked a workout without looking at the clock. I was like, holy shit, I think we'll have to wrap this up. All right, I'm going to bring Coach Judith on stage. She is going to be in the Q&A. She will be answering questions. I'm going to answer questions. I'm going to kick things off with a few announcements. And then we will get into studying the importance of Module 2 today, Module 2 of No BS. So if you don't know, this month, we are in the middle of Mission Possible. So let me get my notes up because this is some exciting things. Number one is everybody should be about on Module 2 now. If you don't know, the goal this month is to get every single No BS woman to complete No BS, the weight loss course again. We have Team Repeat and Team Get It Done. So hashtag repeat, hashtag get it done. I will tell you, I have been in the Facebook group looking at a lot of your posts, looking at a lot of the comments, reading, just to kind of get a vibe of what are some of the ahas that are happening right now with No BS. And let me tell you what I keep hearing. Number one is, I've done the course before. It's been a minute, and I can't believe I never heard this. So what this means is that you are someone who has taken the course at some time in the past. We have so many of you have been No BS women for 1, 2, and 3 years. Some of you even more than 3 years. But we have a considerable percentage of the membership who we just don't lose a lot of people. I think you know that once you get here, you find like kind of nice to be in a group of people in Facebook who get along, who help each other out, who motivate each other, support each other, that if I've got a question, I can get 20 intelligent answers from some smart ass, baller ass women in the world. So I think a lot of times that ends up being one reason why a lot of you stay after you've lost all of your weight, is that you just appreciate being in an environment where, you know, thinking positively, being aware of how you think about yourself, valuing, learning how to control your own emotions without controlling it with food. Like just being in that energy and stuff is uber important. So a lot of people stay for that. So we have all these people who are on Team Repeat. And the first time you heard it, you were in a completely different mindset. You didn't know much about thought work. It was a novel thing to stop at enough. You were like, what is this voodoo Corinne is talking about? What happens is that when you repeat the information with a different mindset, where your mind, like if you think about the first time you listen to No BS, your habit brain still has a wall up of, I don't think this will work. I've failed so many times. Like it's got all of its hesitations, and my message has to permeate through your belief wall. Some of it does. And the easy things, the things that are easy to believe that you can do. But then there's going to be about 80% of what I tell you inside of No BS, that your belief wall is so stacked and jacked from years and years of diet trauma from the diet industry, that a lot of the messages do not permeate. So for a lot of you, this is really good for Team Get It Done to be thinking about. When you take the course the first time, you may not believe in everything I say. You may not understand everything I say. You may only like a few things, don't believe in a lot of it, and you shelve a good percentage, like 80% of what I say, and you latch on to, well, these are the few things I think I can do. Like, here's the one thing. Well, I know I could do that. Here's the little collection of things that
I'm just open to believing that I bet I could learn it, or like I could see myself doing that. It may, you know, I'm even okay with making some mistakes on that. Like I can even override my perfectionistic tendencies and I can override my, you know, douchebag self-talk. I can do all that. And then the rest of it is, it's a no. So what's important to know is that the next time you listen to it, you've probably gotten better at the things that you went in with believing in, the things that you thought might work for you. And that stuff you don't even have to think about now. And just from getting some success there, or seeing that your life is a little easier, seeing that you don't feel as bad every single day, seeing that whether you've lost some weight or not yet, just like so many of you will say, like, I've been here for a little bit. I haven't lost weight yet, but I feel a lot better about myself. Like I see myself, I'm not as quick to anger or quick to isolating in my home life. I've taken the temperature down on, like, I don't make everything somebody says about me mean the end of the world anymore. Like so much of your mental baggage, you've lost a lot of mental weight. This is a really good sign, because then the next time you take No BS, you start hearing things that you need to hear at the new stage that you're at. And the things that you already heard, that you already believe in, they start feeling more solid in your body. Like you start thinking like, oh yeah, I know that. Like I'm good at that one. Or yeah, I've been working on that one. So you have the momentum of that happening. So that's a reinforcement tool. Then you have this version of you that's ready for the next things to be like, you know, the first time I poo-pooed on that, but this time, the way she said it makes so much more sense. I have read that sentence probably 1,000 times, and I'm not joking, that the first time I listened, I didn't even hear this. The first time I listened, I didn't even think that I could do that. This time, I don't know, the way you said it makes more sense. This is where we start getting called the magic light bulbs start kind of going off in your head. When you repeat the course, when you listen to it again with a different stage of where you're at, you just hear things differently. Your brain now conceptualizes things in a new way for you. It synthesizes the material. And then we've got a lot of you who've experienced a ton of success and stuff. You're going back through and you're really understanding the thought work piece of it. Like you've been able to lose a lot of weight and just kind of been like, well, you know, that thought work's really not for me. I'm just gonna, like, some of you are like, you know, you don't have a shit show of a life and stuff. You're not really living the amplified, I'm so grateful for everything life yet. But you're just like, well, I'm not like some people who just, I don't really sit around and tear myself apart all the time. I'm not exactly celebrating myself, Corinne, but I'm not in the duder. Like, I love my kids. I love my husband or my wife. I love my job. I mean, I don't walk in every day excited like the Kool-Aid man, but I'm not like some people who are just like, oh my God, one more day of this. Rah, rah, rah. So we've got another group of you who have had a lot of weight loss success, but you haven't yet lost what I call the mental weight that we wear like just a slimy residue on us that we don't even know we have. We don't even know how great our life can be until we let go of what I call like the settling style. It's like, well, my job like pays the bills, you know. My kids don't get in that much trouble. Like, I've got a good life. But it's like, you're not sitting there just like every day. I'm going to share with y'all something personal this morning. I woke up this morning at 4:45. I was having this crazy dream. I won't even go into it because it was so batshit crazy. But in my dream, I was doing thought work, of all things. I was explaining the concept of belief to somebody. And right after I'd woke up, I was just kind of laying there and I had 30 minutes before my alarm went off and I was contemplating getting up and getting my day started. And my husband, Chris, he went to the bathroom and he came back to bed. And when he laid there, I laid there literally for 30 minutes And I thought, all I want to do is lay in the bed and put my hands on him and be grateful for him. And I am not shitting y'all 1 ounce. He didn't wake up. He didn't say, I love you. I don't even think Papa Bear even noticed I was doing it. But I noticed. And that comes from not because like Chris is so amazing. It's because Corinne thinks of Chris amazingly. And the one thing I wanted to do this morning was to just sit in that, to start my day. It's one of the reasons why I've created the Relationships Camps Weekend. You know, Relationships Camp Weekend is not just for people who feel like their life is a shit show and that they've got unrealistic expectations for themselves and everybody else, and they need to know how to make friends and, like, you know, they need to get over their past. It is because so many of us are sitting around. We know we have a good life, and yet for some reason, we're not stepping into it and living it at our max. And I don't mean like going out and achieving things. I mean like stepping into our life and feeling it in our heart, in our gut, how grateful we are. How much the people in our lives mean to us. I don't want to go to my grave one day and be thinking, I wish I had loved people more. I want to go knowing that I love the fuck out of them. I want to know if something happens to somebody I love, zero regrets. Because I allowed myself to love them in such a bigger way that most people don't take the time to do. Having amazing relationships just doesn't take time. It takes moments. It takes sentences that you choose. It takes decisions to let some shit go and some decisions to amplify the areas that mean a lot to you. That's all it takes. And so for this week in No BS, when your team repeat or your team get it done, when you're listening to module 2, I want you to listen to it not from a place of I'm so broken, this is hard for me. I want you to listen to it from the place of I deserve to feel as amazing as I want in this life. And this is the module that teaches me how to do that. It teaches me about my thoughts, which ones I'm having, which ones I want to choose, which ones that I want to keep, and which ones do I want to start creating for myself? Because I'm just... like, no one's taught me that I could think on a bigger level for me. You know, as women, we're just not taught that. We're taught to settle. We're taught to listen to others before we act. We're not really taught to listen to ourselves and to figure out what is it that we tell ourselves, and is that good enough now? And if it's not, then tell me how to make it better. Tell me how to amplify that shit. And that is what module 2 does for you. So today we're going to focus on the questions. So if you have questions about module 2, now is the time to put them inside the Q&A. It's all about, like, if you got questions about journaling, how to change a thought, how to listen for one, how to be patient with one, how to process a feeling, this is the call for you. All right. So make sure that as you go through No BS, whether you're doing it on your phone with the Private Member Podcast, if you're doing it on your computer, wherever you're doing it from, I would ask so that we can get those boxes checked, because that's what's going to move up the goal getter gauge. You need to go to the website, nobswomen.com. You need to log in. And on the website, you need to click on the No BS Weight Loss Course. And on that page, you're going to see all your videos. Anything that you listen to, or anything that you watch, make sure that you've opened the lesson and you click the box to say, I'm done. I'm done. I really want you guys to do this so that we can track that. Y'all have already unlocked the first level prize, which is 10 people at the end of this. Don't worry. You don't have to do anything right now. We are going to send out a survey at the end of all of this for you to just kind of answer a few questions for us. And out of those people who submit and have completed No BS, you'll be entered into a drawing, and 10 of you will get a box filled of my favorite shit, junk I love. So you'll get a box of, y'all can even imagine what's going to be in that box. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Every Sunday, we update the gauge. So if you're wondering, every Sunday, that gauge is going to get updated. It doesn't get updated throughout the week. It gets updated every Sunday. Okay. And then make sure you're encouraging your accountability partners. Make sure you continue to use hashtag repeat, hashtag get it done in the Facebook group. If you finish something and you got a buddy, tag them in your post and say like, hey, let everybody know what you're doing too, so that we get everybody doing their work. All right. This Saturday, Coach Julie's going to be taking you through module 2 of the worksheet. So if you would love to work with Coach Julie on the worksheets of module 2, this will be the class for you at 10:30 a.m. Central Time on January 15th. We wanted to give y'all implementation calls, because when you come to camp, one of the things that y'all said that you love the most that we do at camp, and we did some of that during the Building the You of 2022 workshop, is you like it when there is some live walkthroughs of worksheets where you have the opportunity to take a worksheet, do it with others. You have the opportunity to ask questions and really dive into the worksheets. So we decided to take a little bit of what we do at camp and spread that out through the weekend so that you kind of get a taste of, when you come to camp, you do the work. You do it while you're there. Because one of the things that we know is that when you go home and you go back to real life, it's hard to squeeze in some of the work. So we knock out the work during camp weekend. So one of the things we want to do for you here is allow you some time to be able to work with a coach so that you can go through the worksheets and do the work together. And then this week, we also had 22 new members in the Queen's Club. So congratulations, everybody. If you don't know, if you lose 25 pounds inside of inside of No BS, or if you lost it listening to the podcast and then possibly joined No BS and stuff, you can join the Queen's Club. You get a special group. They get a special call, all kinds of goodies. All the information is on NoBSWomen.com. That and the Century Club for anybody who's lost over 100 pounds. All the information's over there. And then Beth Roscoe is our Queen's Club member of the week. And this is what she said. I love being a No BS woman because everything from Corinne, all of the programs and workshops, all the materials, all of the coaches, and all of my No BS sisters, to everyone on the support staff, this is teaching me that at 62 years into my life, I can learn to be strong. That I can finally learn to love myself like the people who love me love me. This program is so much more than weight loss. It's developing myself into the best Beth that I can be in all facets of my life, a No BS woman. So I thought that was awesome. And for all of you who have been waiting for the You of 2022 workshop materials, they are officially inside your membership now. So if you go there, you can watch the replays. A lot of you were very excited to get those. Let me pull up this actual sheet I was inside of. Let's see, there we go. It's a lot easier to read when I pull it up on my computer instead of putting it into the screen. All right. And then for those of you who want to look ahead to next month. So next month is big ass action. So we're going to do Mission Possible this month. We're going to get all the way through No BS. So we're going to reset our foundations. We're going to implement No BS. And then next month, we're going to talk about how to take this big ass action. Big ass action is where we're going to let go of half assing and embrace some big assing. And so what we're going to do is we're going to focus on how to overcome procrastination, how to understand when you're when the enthusiasm wears off, how to do things that you don't want to do in the moment. That is what big ass action will be all about next month. Because typically what happens is we're in the middle of getting Mission Possible done. You guys are all excited. You know, everybody's like, oh, enthusiasm, like we're riding that wave. Well, because we're not, you know, junkies, we can't always rely on tons of motivation and tons of enthusiasm. You have to learn the skill of when motivation is waning, when everything starts to become habit, when it starts to become routine, how do you keep going? Because when things start becoming a routine and a habit, then you start hearing the rest of your life that enthusiasm and motivation has been drowning out for a little bit. So if you have doubts and insecurities, or you have, you know, things that get on your nerves around your house and stuff, those things become louder. And what most of you do is use that as like, oh no, something's gone wrong, instead of, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like. I'm supposed to go through life not feeling like, y'all, we're not supposed to go through life like we just snorted a line of cocaine. But that's what y'all want your diet life to be like. Like, I just took a line of blow and I'm like, whoa, ready to go. Like, it's a no. It's not supposed to be like that. There's supposed to be times when you're excited and proud and those kinds of things. And there's just supposed to be some times where you just do your life, where you just sit there and you eat it because it's on your plan. You don't need a cheerleading squad to come in to be like, hoorah, hoorah, Kryn, eat your salad. No. So we got to learn how to overcome that. And that's what we'll do in February. All right. Questions. Let's go. Let's see what we got. When I celebrate myself, it feels really fake. Whether I'm celebrating something small or big does not matter. I also don't feel really great when others tell me I've done a great job or something. How do I get open to freeing, feeling my own celebrations? Julie, it's just called normal. If you've spent a lifetime thinking things like, I don't deserve this, or I'm not good enough, or whatever it is, of course, when you're spotlighting your small wins and stuff, it's never going to feel real, because your shitty mentality feels real right now. But the answer isn't to be like, well, I'm just frustrated, this isn't happening. The answer is to tell yourself, like, this is normal. I'm going to have to continue celebrating when it doesn't feel good. Because here's the answer, or here's the alternative. Well, I could quit celebrating and just not feel good. Or I could celebrate myself and not feel good. Which one do you think at the end of the day will have a better outcome? If you keep celebrating yourself, eventually your brain catches up to it. Or if you stop celebrating yourself, then your brain just gets more dug in on whatever it is that you believe. So often what will happen is y'all will think things underneath. Like, if celebrating yourself doesn't feel great, you're probably like, if it's a small win, it's because you have a mental construct. Like, ask yourself, why does this small win, like, why do I not feel good about it when I tell myself you're taking a step in the right direction? It will be easy. I'll guarantee you the thought, some of y'all put in what you would think. Probably going to be like, well, that's not good enough. It'll take a long time. That's just the thoughts that you have about small steps, which means you don't stop celebrating yourself. You continue to do that action. You change the thought about the small win. You tell yourself, I'm celebrating this small win, and it's more than enough. It's actually a step in the right direction. What's not good enough is believing that it's not good enough. Anytime I take positive steps and I get wins, what's not good enough is continuing to believe that it won't work, continuing to foster my fake ass belief that, like, I should be doing more. That's what's not good enough. So you have to have those real honest conversations with yourself. Anytime that somebody else compliments you or celebrates you, or you compliment yourself or celebrate you, when it doesn't feel good, this is when you do a thought download. This is where you get out the journal and you write, so-and-so said, or I said to myself, and it felt whatever. I wonder why that is. What do I make it mean when somebody compliments me? On the inside, I think things like, and then you're just going to take a lot of guesses. You don't need to be accurate and you don't need to be right. You just need to take guesses. Usually for me, when I'm feeling stumped on why something doesn't feel like I think it should be feeling, like, it seems to me like a rational person would be calm in this moment. Seems to me like a normal person this would feel good to them, but it doesn't for me. That doesn't make me abnormal. It makes me curious as to what's going on inside my brain. What sentences and beliefs have I adopted over time that are contradicting what I think probably should be happening for me? And then you write. And so what happens a lot of times when I'm stuck, I'll start writing and it's like, I don't know if that's really it. And I'll just kind of keep writing. And eventually what does happen is something will jump out, like it will feel like that's probably it. If you feel like it's probably it, just go with it 100%. Let's work on that. If you're like, I don't even know if that's it, just be like, good enough to work on. I mean, if you're, I want you all to think about this. Number one, there's no right or wrong busted thought. Like, you're not going to be like, I need to find that one thought that's slowing it all down, because if I unlock that one, everything in my life will break open. No. What's going to happen is you're just a human until your brain stops functioning. You will always have ratchet ass thoughts. Always. So whether you work on one that you kind of think it could be, or you work on one that feels like, boom, it hit me in the gut, that has to be it. Every one that you work on is valuable. Every single one of them. As I always show you guys, I'm going to drag out my, I lost a row of my Jenga. Drag out the Jenga tower. If we're playing Jenga, this is your statue of shitty ass thoughts. I don't care if you pull out, let's, you know, call this one old, deep and rooted, the one that started when I was 10. Or if you pull out this one, which is just like, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter where you pull thoughts out. It doesn't matter how deep you go. It matters that you're pulling out thoughts. And eventually you stumble upon some that wiggle out thoughts down here and you get some up here. And the whole belief system of like, this isn't for me, I can't do it, I suck, I always have sucked, all of that comes crashing down. And then you've got a whole nother set of shit. You'll have another Jenga tower to work on. You will have an endless supply of Jenga towers for the rest of your life. That is the good news. You never run out of work to do on yourself. But the reason why it's such good news is that it makes you feel normal. Like, oh, I'm not supposed to have my shit together in my brain all the time. Sometimes I still get pissed at Chris for no reason. Sometimes I'm sitting there just judging him on the inside silently like a big dog, just stewing in my diaper about it. Sometimes I get pissed at my team. Sometimes I'm shocked that they would ever do that, ask me that, say that. Hell, I go in the Facebook group, read some of y'all shit sometime, and just like, what the fuck? Have I not taught them anything? Or I think like, oh my God, we're failing them. Like, this one person's having a problem today. We're not doing our job. Like, I have just as many crappy thoughts as anybody. I looked in the mirror this morning. I went out to the gym. I'm getting ready to run. I have had a rough a week. I don't know if I had the COVID, couldn't get a test, honestly, but had something going on all last week. Felt like complete ass, still not 100%, but I'm at a place where I can exercise. I have an incredible morning where I'm laid in bed, washed in gratitude for my husband, did my journaling, cleaned the kitchen, go out to the gym. Guess what I do? Look in the mirror and go like, fuck your body. So wrinkly. All that loose skin. Literally, my brain's like, it wasn't like, good job, Corinne. You're slaying. And look at you. You're getting ready to run. And you're, you know, so committed to your workouts. Like, my brain was never in that space. It was like, okay, we need to make sure you understand you ain't as good as you think you are. So let me go find you something to nitpick. I did not sit there and go like, oh my God, I really should like answer my own question on the Facebook Q&A. Like I have been working on feeling better about my body for so long. It just doesn't seem to work. What should I do? Should I just like stop saying nice things about myself and go back to feeling like shit? Do you see how like ridiculous? If I came in here and said, hey, I just got to tell all of you, please stop doing your thought work. I had some shitty thoughts about my body this morning, and I've been trying to think better about it for a long time. I've just decided we should stop. It must not work. Y'all would all be like, what the fuck did she just say? But I want to tell you, y'all ask me that question all the time as if telling yourself nice things about yourself, celebrating your wins and stuff, as if it's not working. Just because you still have ratchet thoughts, that doesn't mean it's not working. It means you are working. So every time you tell yourself something good about yourself and it feels like bullshit, you need to tell yourself, yeah, it feels like bullshit because I'm trying to change how I think about myself. Because that's the truth too. Or you can hang on to the idea that it's not working and then feel like extra bullshit. That's called layering shit on top of shit. So, not sure when I grab ass eat that I have any thoughts. It just feels impulsive. How do I figure out what I'm thinking? It probably is impulsive, but it's probably coming from this idea that I grab ass and I don't know where it's coming from. So the way the body works is there is no way you can do something without your brain having a say-so. So even like right now, I'm using my hands. Somewhere in my brain, there is a thought that says, if you use your hands, this will emphasize the point. Now, that does not mean that when I'm talking that I'm thinking all the time, like, now's the time to use your hands. Now's the time to use your hands. Sometimes I just use them because I've always done it. So when you notice an impulsive, what feels like a super automatic behavior, the answer is we have to get very slow in the process. So that means you have to track every single grab ass that you have. For all of you who don't know, a grab ass is what, like in Weight Watchers land, they used to be called the bites, licks, and tastes. It's where you're just like, I'm just going to sit here and I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking and ooh, nuts, boom. Ooh, that looked like little left, like I'm doing the dishes. And Junior left spoonful of mac and cheese. Oh, that looks good. Let me get that. Like we do some of that stuff and we don't really have a conscious thought about it. So this is why you have to do discovery worksheets on what I would just call the little sloppy behaviors that we have that do not require a ton of thought work. Like you're not probably sitting around with a terrible mindset, totally stressed out or anything. You're just sitting around thinking like, I don't know why I grab ass. It seems so impulsive. When you only think about it like that, your brain doesn't go to work on how to slow the process down, how to correct it, how to pay attention, how to put it on your radar. When you do a bunch of discovery worksheets, you train your brain's reticular activation system to turn on for those grab asses. So let me explain a little bit about the brain stuff, and then this will make a lot more sense. Inside of all of our brains, we have something called the RAS. If you want to look it up on the Googles, just I think it's reticular activating system or the RAS. So if you look that up on Google, you can read more about it. But the short of it is that you have a part of your brain and it is responsible for making things important that need to be important and filtering out everything else that could be a distraction. So like when you're driving, you don't notice a lot of the billboards and you don't notice the houses and you don't notice things. So your reticular activation system turns on to hear things that are important. A couple of things, this is how you know your RAS is working. If you've ever been in a room full of people, and you hear the name Corinne. Like a lot of you, if you heard the name Corinne in a room full of people, you'd be like, Corinne, hey, that's my no BS woman. Like you might, like you would probably be alert to it, or you hear your name and like you're having a conversation with some people, say 20 people are in a room. You're having a conversation with somebody and three conversations over, you hear that, like, say your name's Beth, you hear the name Beth, you look and say, did somebody say Beth? Your RAS knows that one of the important things is to be able to hear your name. So it doesn't hear Tom, Dick, and Harry, but it's for sure going to hear Beth. So our RAS, its job is to highlight what you have decided is important to start noticing. If instead of thinking about grab-assing as invisible, automatic, hard to find, that kind of thing, your RAS does not put in, like it doesn't raise the level of importance. It just thinks that it's not important to notice. So when you start thinking about like, all right, I want to get better and better. I need to start really learning when I'm doing this. Then your brain, every time you take a bite now, if you start telling yourself every day, today's goal is to figure out how many grab asses that I can catch myself doing, whether you catch yourself before or after, first step is always, I got to be aware of doing them. So one of those things is you do discovery worksheets on every single one of them. In the discovery worksheet, you may not be thinking anything. You just tell yourself, in that moment, here's what I was thinking. I was thinking about cooking dinner and I grabbed the nuts. The problem wasn't that you can't find the thought that instigated getting the nuts. The problem was, is I wasn't even thinking during dinner, my goal is to get through making dinner and to watch myself to see if I even go after food. So the discovery worksheets helps to turn up the volume for your RAS. And so like, if you know, then what will happen after several discovery worksheets, you'll start figuring out, usually when I grab ass, these are the foods I go for. Usually when I grab ass, here are the rooms I'm typically in. Here are the places I'm typically at. These are the things that I gravitate towards. When you start turning up the volume on, like, you know, I'm not exactly nobody stands in their refrigerator and gnaws on lettuce. So I don't need to pay attention to that. But every time I see peanut butter, or every time I see nuts, every time I see leftovers, if there's French fries in the car because I stopped to get Junior some, that's the times I need to turn up the volume. Because I need to see myself going for it. Sometimes that means you'll see yourself after. That's still good. You don't beat yourself up. You're like, good to know. I caught myself afterward. The goal is to catch myself during or before, but it's getting on my radar now, like immediately versus 3 days later when I weigh in. So that is the importance of some of those really unconscious behaviors. How do we turn them into conscious behaviors? Then how do we turn our thinking on for those conscious behaviors? Then because what will happen is once you get to a certain point, you're going to still want to eat them, but now you're going to catch yourself. Then you're going to start hearing thoughts of like, this won't hurt. It's just a little bit. How could this even make a difference? I was so good today. Because once it gets very conscious, you'll start understanding some of the reasoning that may have been going on underneath the surface. All right. What are some different ways of journaling if I don't like writing? I thought this was a really good question. Somebody asked about like, could I do mind mapping? Could I do some visual stuff? You can do whatever you want. So I know some of you don't like writing. I will say the gold standard is to just write. A lot of times when I'm doing journaling, when I do my writing, I do a lot of bullet point writing. Sometimes I'll just say like, I'm feeling this way. I wonder what that could be. Or I notice I keep doing this. What are the thoughts behind it? And I just make like a list and I give myself a bullet points of possible thoughts that it could be. And then I just look at those thoughts and I think about, all right, if I had to guess, which one do I think is probably the most likely culprit? And then I'll like take that one thought and then I'll write about it. And I'll write about why it's not true. What else could be true? Why do I think that to begin with? What else do I want to think in the moment when that happens? So I'll kind of dissect that one out. But if you prefer to do mind mapping, I think that's great. Do some mind mapping. If you don't know what mind mapping is, look it up on the internet. Go to Google or go to Pinterest and just type in mind mapping. You'll find plenty of articles and stuff. Some people prefer doing voice recordings for themselves. So you can do some voice recordings, and that would be also totally acceptable. I don't know what that means. I guess I pivot like a motherfucker. I'll be okay for a while, but then the old shitty will come back and I'll get so frustrated. How can I make the pivot stick? You don't need to make the pivot stick. You need to stop getting frustrated when it doesn't. Like, frustration is like saying, I would really like to get to the grocery store and I want to take the longest fucking route possible anytime traffic happens. So if you were going to the grocery store, it would just be like, oh my God, I have this route. It's backed up. Let me go all the way back home and start over in a whole different route. Or you just keep plugging along. Y'all, when you are planning, when you're pivoting, when you make mistakes and stuff, the one golden rule is to stop getting frustrated that it's not going perfectly yet. It takes time. The unsung hero of weight loss is patience. Most of y'all are just too fucking impatient. You have this idea that you've got to be perfect to lose weight. This has to be fixed in order to lose weight. For the majority of you, you can fuck up the entire time and lose your weight. I mean, all of you, not even the majority, every one of you. I have yet to interview a success story and say, well, did you get there perfectly? Yes, I did. Thank you for module one. I didn't even have to move off module one. You told me the four basics and I never had a food problem ever again. If that is all it took, trust me, I would shit can the rest of the program and we would all just do the basics. And thank you very much. Saving us all a lot of time. It does not work that way. Your job is not to get pissed, like applaud that you know how to pivot, because then when you make a mistake, you'll be like, learning, time to learn, not time to sit there and gnash your teeth. Now, if you want to take a moment to feel sorry for yourself, fine. Take a moment. Be pitiful if you want to. But don't sit in it. It's normal to be like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Or like, you know, oh my God, it just feels like I'll never lose weight. Then you just got to take a deep breath like a grown up and be like, all right, so what are we going to do? Could you imagine that if, like, in the real world, if we acted like we do with weight loss? If your kids came to you and said, I failed a test today. Oh my God, you're never going to college. This is so terrible. Let's just go get a bottle of wine. I can't take it. Could you imagine if you took your kid, like your 7-year-old, and every time they got a bad grade or got in trouble at school, little junior comes in, doesn't have a good day, you're just like, I'm going to teach you right now how do we cope. Number one, I'm so ashamed of you and me. Number two, you're probably never going to college, junior. Three, it's time for you to learn that wine is your answer. Could you imagine? Do you know what we do? We sit there and maybe we're not happy with junior. Sometimes maybe we're just like, you know, damn it. You know, like, I knew you should have been like studying last night instead of playing your Game Boy or whatever they play these days. And maybe you have like a not so proud mommy moment. Then most of the time you take a big deep breath and like, all right, so what we need to study? Did you talk to your teacher? Did you ask if you could do extra credit? Like, you focus and you center. You do not offer junior a glass of wine or say like, all right, let's go eat Oreos while we solve this. Seriously, So if you're not going to do it in these situations, why make it rational to do it over here? It's like, just have a moment and then be like, all right, so what are we going to do about it? Every single day, I'm popping in macaroni and cheese in my mouth when I'm cooking dinner. Rather than sitting around and like, oh my God, they're going to lose weight. Just be like, all right, I'm going to do that discovery worksheet. This problem's going to get solved one day. So I won't take the foot off the gas of trying to solve the problem. Quitting, I know, like, this is for all of you. I have not met a woman yet who has said, you know what I did? I quit trying to do things and suddenly my weight came off. Said no one ever. Every single person that has been in no BS that, you know, maybe they didn't lose weight for a while, or they lost some, gained some, and then they started losing it. Every single one of them said, well, I just told myself, if I quit, I know I can't do it. So I just had to keep plugging along until I figured it out. I had to quit telling myself that I was terrible. And I had to just be like, that's getting me nowhere. That is what I did when I lost weight. Every single time the scale didn't move. Every single time I overate. Every single time I did something that I think wasn't working. I was just like, you ain't got time to feel sorry for yourself. You've spent a lifetime of feeling sorry for yourself and beating yourself up. That got you to 250. Like five times over. I tried that route 100,000 different ways. And guess what? Every single time, it did not get me closer to my goals. So if I know that, then I know that I got to call myself on some bullshit when I'm talking crap to myself and just say, yeah, you've always talked to yourself like this. And guess what? You know that now. So you don't get to sit there and keep doing it and then get pissed that you're still doing it. You got to get dug in that shit's fixing to change. And the only reason it's going to change is because I'm going to decide it is. I didn't sit there and blow smoke up my ass, but I will guarantee you, every time I was hard on myself, I would say like, Corinne, you can't afford to do that anymore. It has not worked for you. The old you, that was her answer. It can't be your answer anymore. So buckle up because we ain't quitting this time. And I had that hard conversation with myself 1,000 times. I had that conversation before I believed in myself. I had that conversation before I knew what my goal weight was. I had that conversation before I would even dare dream that I would get all my weight off. I had that conversation because I didn't want to be the version I had been, period. That was enough motivation. That was enough for me. I had that conversation because I was determined to be someone else. I knew somewhere in my gut that there had to be something better. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if it was going to be fabulous. All I knew is what I was doing in the moment. I didn't want that anymore. And that was enough motivation to make some changes, to say like, stop thinking this. I don't give a damn what you think about. Think about the Price is Right. But don't you sit here and think that you might as well eat. Don't you sit here and think you might as well. Because that shit has not worked for you. I had to keep telling myself over and over again, shit has never worked for you. It is not your answer right now. And that included beating myself up and getting pissed when things weren't happening the way I thought they should. That included beating myself up and getting pissed when I did choose to eat, when I did choose to do something I said I wouldn't. I would just regroup and make my next fucking best decision. That is what I did. And that is what you got to do. And that is what module 2 of No BS is all about. It's not about thinking pure thoughts and perfect thoughts, always feeling happy and always being motivated. It's about understanding that our brains are normal. We're going to have moments and stuff. But the more I can teach you to not wallow in it and to only believe the bullshit, the better your life will get. How do you know when it's time to just let a thought go? This is a really good one. First, it's when you the way that I know it's time to let a thought go is when I've caught myself doing think, feel, do cycles on it a bunch of times. Like I just keep doing it over and over and over again. It just keeps coming back. And I have been sitting there trying new thoughts. I have been sitting there writing about why it's not true, writing about what is true when I've spent a lot of time finding new evidence. So that's kind of like phase one. The inside of, I believe it's thoughts 2.0, we have that belief worksheet. When I've done that work, this is how I know in my gut I'm ready to let a thought go. It has nothing to do with the frequency at which it comes back. It has everything to do with, do I still really believe this? Or is this something that my brain just keeps telling me that for so long I've thought that I think I believe it, but I honestly don't anymore. So this happened to me. This was probably about a year ago. I've had a story for a long time that I'm not good enough. And it manifested itself in thousands of ways. So like when it would come to this business, I would study leadership because I would think like, oh, Corinne, you know, you never went to college. You never really managed people. You can't run a business. And so I would tell myself that I wasn't smart enough. And then I would spend an exorbitant amount of time. Like I bet I have read, I don't know, 50 leadership books, taken courses, asked my husband thousands of times, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I would be seeking validation all the time. And I refused to trust my inner wisdom. Same thing happened with mothering. I thought I wasn't a good enough mother. Would look for evidence of it. I would talk about not being a good enough mother. Like there was just all of this not good enough. And it all started when I was a kid. I kind of traced it back. I think I developed this sense of not being good enough when my dad abandoned us. You know, when we left Alabama, my dad didn't have much to do with us. He didn't have much to do with us when we were living down the street for him. And I still remember the day we left. I was graduating third grade, and a couple of days before we left, we were going to see my dad. And, you know, this before we moved to Nashville. So on the day that I got out of school in third grade, my granny came to pick us up. She drove us straight to Nashville. And I remember seeing my dad and crying and knowing I would not see him anymore at the age of 8. I knew it. And I think in that moment, I thought, what is wrong with me that my daddy doesn't want me? And then every time birthdays came and Christmases came, and we'd be lucky if we'd get a call. Most of the time, my mom would orchestrate on the back end, calling and begging him to talk to us. We'd go to Alabama my poor mother, I don't know how she made it. Every year in the summer, we would beg to go to Alabama and spend a week so we could see our daddy and we could see my grandparents. And she always knew how it would end. Because we would go, he wouldn't come see us. We would stay with my grandmother. And usually something really bad would happen. My dad was married to kind of a psychopath in his second marriage. But abuse, terrible things said to us, you name it, something would happen. And I would always call at some point before that trip was over, bawling and begging my mother to come and get us. She would drive down every single time. As much as my mother didn't like missing work, they could clock that my mother would miss a day of work on the days that the babies would call from Alabama wanting to come home because everybody had treated us so poorly. And I think that's where my not good enough story started. And then I just relived that my entire fucking life. And so I spent the first 2 years of my coaching with my coach crying like this every single week, because every coaching session would come back to, I think it's my story about not being good enough. In the beginning, it felt so real. We had worked on it for a while. And I mean, I had done everything that I've told you guys. I would write about why I am good enough, why I am smart, what makes me educated, why am I a good mother? Like, I did what they call the work. And one day we were coaching and she said, I just want you to take a deep breath. And when you tell me, as I was bawling, and she said, do you honestly not feel good enough? Wait, I just want you to close your eyes and I want you to go into your body. And do you really feel not good enough? And I did it. And I opened my eyes and I said, well, not really. It's like I said, you know, honestly, I know I'm good enough. I just think it sometimes. And that right there cracked everything open for me. And that is what I've told myself 1,000 times since, is I don't even believe that story anymore. But my brain still thinks it, because it just has for a long time. And when it feels threatened or it doesn't really know what's going on, it just goes back to this story because it's comfortable and it's old and it's what we've always thought. And it seems like a viable option. But I'm wrong in those moments. That's when you know it's just time to let go of a story. It doesn't mean that when you let go of a thought, that the thought never comes back. It means you let go of the emotional attachment you have to the thought. So when you've worked on something a lot, when you've repeated the thought a lot of times, at some point you just have to say, like, I'm letting go of the emotional attachment that I have to that thought. I have a lot of evidence as to why I don't believe it. It makes sense to me why it would come back. But I don't have to, like, I don't have to live that thought out anymore. And that's been what's been very powerful for me. So I did not mean to be so emotional today. Good Lord, I cried several times. But that's all I got for y'all today. So if your questions didn't get answered, here's what I suggest. Number one, one of the things I'm very proud of in this community is that I can tell y'all do the work. I can tell by how much in the comments, when somebody presents a problem they're struggling with, when they're presenting something that's really tripping them up in their thought work, I love how y'all can go in and can compassionately say, I'm noticing you're thinking this, and you're offering some such sage wisdom on not just here's what to do. And you're not just agreeing with their pain, but you're actually saying, like, I get why you feel the way you do, because you're thinking this. Some of you tell your personal stories, like I do, on how you overcame it. Some of you say, like, I think if maybe you could try thinking something like this, you have, you know, like blah, blah, blah. Some of you ask questions. Take your stuff there. Take it to the Facebook group. You know, you're not here so that I can just yell at you on Wednesdays and Sundays. You're here because you wanted to be inside a community of like-minded people who are all working towards losing mental and physical weight, who want to support each other. You're tired of being lonely on trying to feel better about your life. You're tired of being in social circles where everybody's just bitching and moaning and dragging themselves down. So use the power of the community. The other thing is, if you feel like you like literally need a coach's help or support, you can go to Ask Coaches and you can post it and ask coaches and they will help you there. And some of you need to, like, if you've got relationship stuff coming up, when you hear me talk about all this stuff, you need to come to camp. You need to go to the website and check out what Relationships Weekend is all about. We have our calls getting ready to start. So if you come to Relationships Weekend, 60 days out, you're going to have a call with Coach MJ and Coach Kathy, where we're going to be doing some preparatory work to coming to relationships camp. Then 30 days out, we do it again. And we start like thinking about like, what do you need most 60 days and 30 days out to make sure that you get the most complete experience that you can. And those calls are getting ready to start very soon. So if you're coming to Nashville, you need to get on it because we're going to run out of hotel rooms and the price is dirt cheap, $209 a night. You cannot get a hotel room in a nice hotel in downtown Nashville anymore for anything less than $300 to $400. But just welcome to Nashville. So if you're coming virtually or in person, go ahead and get registered. Don't miss those mini calls. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see you on Sunday. I think we're actually doing some. I get to do like regular life coaching this Sunday, so I'm looking forward to it. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.